Saraji had answered the third question, what one should be mindful of, and how many types of satipatthana there is. And by now, yogis have understood about sati, and they have also understood the four kinds of satipatthana. So there are four fields of objects to be noted: kaya, vedana, citta, and dhamma, the body, feelings and sensations, the mind, and the general objects. So by noting the object with effort, with sustained mindfulness, when the mind becomes calm and collected, one gains the immediate benefit. The defilements, lobha, dosa, greed, anger, that can arise by lack of mindfulness will have no chance to arise moment by moment by being mindful. Removing these defilements means not giving chance for them to arise. And when the mindfulness becomes continuous, with the momentum of mindfulness, when one misses to note the object, gross defilements do not arise. So in this way, due to the momentum, at the moment the person misses or fails to note something, one will not have kilesa due to the momentum. It is called vekambana pahana, removing by distancing the defilements. And today Saraji will explain how the satipatthana, how there are four kinds of satipatthana. Among the four fields of objects to be noted, there is the kaya, which is the group of materiality. The group of materiality is more obvious than the nama, mentality. And among these materialities, there are the materialities that are obvious and there are the materialities that are not as obvious. So among these materiality, one should note the materiality that is obvious. One should not make anything happen. One should not make anything happen that does not really exist. And one should not be noting the object that doesn't exist. So in the satipatthana practice, one should be noting the obvious bodily action, such as rising, falling, sitting, touching, lifting, moving, placing, and so on. And one should be noting it in the way the object really is. And one should not note something else apart from the object that is arising. If the object is one thing, one should not be noting in the other way apart from the object. If there is rising, note it as rising and not falling. If there is falling, note it as falling. In this way, one should be mindful as it is. If it is hot, note it as hot. And one should be noting in the way the object really exists, in the way the object really is. When noting the object, sati alone, without the effort, will not be able to note the object. So there needs to be the effort that is pushing the mind onto the object. So one should exert the effort in order to be able to note the object. When rising takes place, One should make the effort to note it as rising. When falling takes place, one should make the effort in order to be able to follow the falling. When lifting of the foot takes place, one should make the effort in order to be able to note it as lifting. One should be atapi. One should have the ardent effort. One should not be cold, sluggish, gazing, but one should always be active, alert, ready in noting. In this way, there should be ardent effort, and it explains the word atapi. When the effort pushes the mind onto the object, the noting mind sticks onto the bodily action that one is noting, and the mind will not go elsewhere. When the mindfulness sticks onto the object, the mind falls calm, collected on the object. And when sati is mentioned, it automatically involves samadhi, concentration. Noting the object with effort, the mindfulness is sustained on the object, and the mindfulness becomes firm and steady. In order to be able to note the object, one needs to exert effort. Depending on the number of moments that the person is exerting effort, the number of moments of mindfulness will increase. If one exerts effort for one moment, there will be one moment of mindfulness. If one is exerting effort for 10 moments, there will be 10 moments of mindfulness. In this way, one should make effort again and again in order to keep the mindfulness continuous. One moment of mindfulness is not as strong, but if many moments of mindfulness are continuous, one after another, the momentum, the energy of mindfulness will become stronger, and one cannot deny that fact. So in order to build up the momentum or the energy of mindfulness, mindfulness should be continuous one after another. When there is sustained mindfulness, one will discern correctly. The knowledge one gains by being mindful is not the theoretical knowledge. It is not the knowledge gained from imagination. It is not the knowledge gained from thinking. By exerting effort in the noting, when the mindfulness is sustained on the object, one discerns correctly. When the noting mind falls on stiffness, one comes to know stiffness. When the noting mind falls on tension, one comes to know tension when noting rising. When noting falling, one comes to discern movement, relaxation, contraction. So in this way, when the mindfulness sticks to the object, knowledge will also be cultivated. And when mindfulness is strong, knowledge will also be strong. When these bodily actions arise, one should note them by naming them, putting a mental label in the noting. And one should always exert effort in the noting so that mindfulness is cultivated and one discerns correctly. The knowledge one gains by being mindful, it is not the imaginary knowledge, but it is the true, correct knowledge, and it is very certain. So one should be mindful of the arising object by noting it with the mental labeling, exerting effort in the noting, so that there will be correct knowledge. And there will be effort, mindfulness, knowledge, and each of them have their own quality and the ability. Viriya, effort, is the courage. Having viriya, effort, courage, the cowardness will be dispelled, and laziness will be dispelled by having effort. Having effort, the defilement moisture have no chance to arise, such as laziness. Sati, mindfulness, protects the mind so that the defilements cannot enter the mind. The mind is being guarded, protected, and thus the mind will be in safety, security. So this is the ability, the quality of sati, keeping the mind protected in safety and security. Cultivating knowledge, there will not be delusion. Not knowing will have no chance to arise. And one does not need to be thinking what it is, why is it, how is it, but one will discern correctly being mindful. It is not the imaginary knowledge. So when noting rising and falling of the abdomen, one should note it as rising, falling, and every time one is discerning by noting rising, falling, and so on, the mind will be away from the defilements. The mind will be pure, clean, wholesome. So this is the benefit of cultivating viriya, sati, samadhi, and panya, effort, mindfulness, concentration, and wisdom. So it is mentioned by the Buddha. Cultivating knowledge, the ignorance, delusion is dispelled. And by discerning correctly, the attachment, greed has no chance to arise. The resentment, anger has no chance to arise. In this way, one is removing the unwholesome roots, and one will be cultivating the wholesome roots of aloba, non-greed, adosa, non-anger, and amoha, knowledge or wisdom. So the kusala citta, the wholesome mind, the bhavana kusala, will be cultivated. So in order to discern, one should be mindful of the object with sustained mindfulness. And by discerning, one is removing the defilements. By being mindful of the bodily activity, noting it with effort, mindfulness, one discerns correctly. And by discerning correctly, one removes ignorance, delusion. Based on the object that the person is noting, raga, lust, does not arise. Dosa, anger, does not arise. On the bodily action that the yogi is mindful of, as well as he or she will not have defilements based on vedana, sanya, the feeling or the perception or any other mentality. In this way, by being mindful of the bodily activity, one is not having defilement on the object that has been noted, as well as the other mentality that are arising. So by being mindful for one moment, for that moment, the defilements have no chance to arise. So in 1 minute, there will be 60 moments being free from defilements. In 5 minutes, there will be 300 moments of cultivating wholesome mind. In 1 hour, there will be 3,600 moments of cultivating the wholesome mind. So in order to cultivate the mind and the knowledge, there are three things: viriya, effort, sati, mindfulness, and panya, knowledge. Among these three, viriya, sati, and panya, viriya, effort, is the most important. By asserting effort correctly, sati, mindfulness, and panya, knowledge, will automatically follow. And Saraji defines the meaning of yogi as according to the teachings. The definition of yogi is bhavanaya yota payota taya yogi, meaning that the yogi is the person who exerts initial effort, step up effort stage by stage until one reaches one's goal in the practice of satipatthana meditation to cultivate the mind and the knowledge. In the word yogi, yoga means effort, and the person who possesses the three stages of effort is called yogi. So in order to cultivate both the mind and the knowledge, the person who possesses the three stages of effort is called a yogi. And in order to possess the three stages of effort, one should be exerting effort every single second in noting the object. If one exerts effort for one moment, the person is possessing the effort for one moment. If the person exerts effort for two moments, the person possesses the effort for two moments. So in this way, one has to make the effort in order to possess the effort. Just as one needs to work in order to earn, in the same way, in order to practice, one should make the effort. One should not be lazy or sluggish. One should not practice in easygoing manner. One should not be flippant in the noting. If one is being lazy, sluggish, taking easy in the practice, noting flippantly, one will not gain the benefits and one will not be a true yogi. So while coming here for practice, it is very important to become a true yogi by asserting three stages of effort. So what is the aim and objective of practicing satipatthana meditation? So the practicing the aim and objective for practicing satipatthana meditation is to purify the mind. The defilements burn the mind, and when these defilements such as lobha, dosa arise, the mind is left dirty and polluted. And as these defilements burn the mind is left dark and dirty. Just as when fire takes place, fire leaves ashes. In the same way, when the defilements burn the mind is left dirty and dark. The defilements burn and torment the mind so that one's life will be ruined. So these defilements are very degrading, and these defilements are the nearest internal enemy. So the aim or objective of being mindful of every bodily activity is to purify the mind, to remove the defilements. One should not be expecting any other benefit, but the aim and objective of purifying the mind, removing the defilement, is the most important aim and objective. By being mindful for one moment, the mind will be purified for one moment. And when the mind is free from the defilements continuously, the mind will be wholesome, pure, clean, and serene, and one will gain the taste of the Dhamma. By being mindful of the presently arising object, being mindful of this bodily activity with sustained mindfulness, the person is doing the duty of the yogi, and one will gain immediate benefit by being mindful. So one should be mindful of the object so as to remove the defilement. Every time there is rising, note it as rising. Every time there is falling, note it as falling. Every time there is sitting, note it as sitting. Every time there is touching, note it as touching. And whenever lifting, moving, placing takes place, note it as lifting, moving, placing. So by being mindful of the bodily action in order to remove the defilements, discerning them, it is called Kaya Nupassana Satipatthana. Kaya Nupassana Satipatthana means being mindful of the bodily activity, removing the defilements, discerning the bodily activity that has been noted. It is called Kaya Nupassana Satipatthana. The same goes with the Vedana, Dhamma, and Citta. Just as one needs to be mindful of the bodily action when these bodily actions are obvious, in the same way, when Vedana, feelings and sensations arise, one should be mindful of them. So when one comes into contact with the unpleasant tangible object, there will be unpleasant feeling and there is discomfort. And also, in the mind, when one comes across unpleasant thing, there will be mental discomfort. So this physical discomfort and mental discomfort should also be noted. And pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling is also Vedana, and it should be noted. And there is also the neutral feeling, and it is also called Vedana. But for the yogis, the neutral feeling is not as obvious. But what is obvious are the pain, aches, the unpleasant sensations, and the pleasant sensations are obvious. In order to be able to note these feelings and sensations, one should exert effort in the noting so that there will be sustained mindfulness and one will discern. By being mindful, the defilements are removed. If there are unpleasant sensations in the body or the mind, for the person who does not have patience, will have dosa, anger. Encountering unpleasant sensation, one craves for the good ones. Craving is greed. Being angry, not being patient, is dosa, anger. In order not to let greed or anger arise, one should be mindful of the unpleasant sensation as soon as it arises, and one should note it with effort so that one will discern and one will build up the courage and forbearance. And it will even become that having to note the pain becomes pleasant. Even though there is the physical pain, but noting the pain becomes pleasant, and it becomes a pleasant pain. So yogi should note so that he or she gets to the stage of forbearing the pain, noting it with patience, forbearance, and the noting become pleasant, and it will become the pleasant pain. And when there is comfort in the body and the mind, one craves on these comfort, the pleasant sensations in the body and the mind. So it is also lobha. And when comfort and pleasant feelings arise, one craves for better ones. So in order to not to let it happen, one should be mindful of the pleasant sensations, the comfort that arises. And in the higher knowledges, there is the calm, good feeling, and one can be attached in this calm, good feeling, and one should be mindful of it, not to be attached in it. So in this way, by being mindful of the feelings and sensations, dosa, anger, does not arise. Encountering unpleasant sensations, one will not crave for the good ones. Greed does not arise. One will not have resentment on these unpleasant sensations. Dosa does not arise. And one does not crave for better experiences. So in this way, based on vedana, feelings and sensations, tatna, craving, does not have chance to arise. And virya, sati and panya, effort, mindfulness and knowledge arise continuously. And one has to practice in such a way to cultivate virya, sati and panya, effort, mindfulness and knowledge by noting the feelings and sensations. And it is called vedana nupassana satipatthana. And by being mindful of thoughts, imaginations, it is citta nupassana satipatthana. So dhamma nupassana involves many general objects. There are objects that are nama, mentality. There are objects that are rupa, materiality. And there are objects where the nama, rupa, mentality and materiality arise in combination. The nama mentality involves nivrana, the hindrances, such as kama chanda, sensual desire. There is the sensual desire, wanting to see good things, wanting to hear good sounds. And people are in the sensual realm, and thus mostly the sensual desire arises in people. And also there is anger, hatred, aversion, grudge. People who are sensitive, they easily have anger, hatred, aversion if they are lacking any control of the mind. And there is also the mind not being active, not wanting to assert effort in the practice, wanting to take easy, feeling exhausted in the practice, having distraction, restlessness, worry, and doubt, having doubt, confusion, having doubts such as will samadhi be cultivated just by noting rising, falling, or just by noting like this, will samadhi ever be cultivated? In this way, doubt and confusion also arises. So one should be mindful when these objects arise. And also when the striker element, the receptor element come into contact, the ignition element arises. And one should be mindful of them by noting them with the mental labeling. And one should be mindful. By being mindful of these objects, knowledge arises, removing the defilements. So in this way, noting these general objects with sustained mindfulness, removing the defilements, discerning correctly, is called Dhamma Nupassana Satipatthana. There are four fields of objects to be noted: Kaya, Vedana, Citta, and Dhamma. The body, feelings, sensations, the mind, and the general objects. At times, the materiality is obvious. At times, feelings and sensations are obvious. At times, thought imaginations come obvious. At times, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching comes obvious. So one should be noting whatever the object that becomes obvious in the way of Satipatthana practice, noting them with effort and sustained mindfulness. So by being mindful of the object that is obvious at the present moment, with effort, with sustained mindfulness, one will discern correctly. It will be a true knowledge, discerning correctly by being mindful. It is not the theoretical knowledge, it is not the knowledge from thinking, but it is the direct experiential knowledge through the practice. In the text, there are many characteristics of the rupa materiality and nama mentality. They are called paramattha, the ultimate truth, ultimate reality as taught by the Buddha. So the paramattha, ultimate reality, are the nature characteristics which are definite and accurate. If it is theoretical knowledge, then if the person cannot reflect it well, he or she can get it wrong. But by being mindful of the object, discerning them through their direct experiential knowledge, it cannot be wrong. Because one is discerning the paramattha, the ultimate reality, and it is called attapachaka, the direct experiential knowledge. So by practicing Satipatthana meditation, discerning through the direct experience, it is attapachaka. It is discerned through direct experience, and they are the true ultimate reality. There are the four postures: sitting, standing, walking, and lying. And they are the nama rupa, mentality and materiality, in these postures. Before one sits, there is the intention to sit. Without the intention to sit, however, any other person is asking to sit, but the person will not sit without the intention to sit. So in the sitting down, standing up, walking, or standing, there are the nama rupa, mentality and materiality arising in pair. In order to discern them, one should be mindful at the moment the object arises. In the sitting, the intention to sit is nama. The actual sitting down, bending, becoming heavier and heavier, it is the rupa, materiality. In order to discern the nama rupa in the sitting, one should note it as sitting, without missing, without failing. And as the person notes sitting down, layer by layer, noting it as sitting, when the mind falls on the intention to sit, one discerns the intention. When the mind falls on the heaviness, stiffness, one discerns the materiality. When noting sitting, one should note in such a way so that the actual sitting and the noting sitting should be concurrent. So the noting and the sitting should be concurrent when noting sitting. And when the mind falls calm, collected on the sitting, one discerns correctly. When the mind falls calm, collected on the sitting, even if knowledge does not arise, if the mind does not go elsewhere, it is quite good enough. But as the sati, mindfulness, becomes stronger and stronger, one will discern correctly by being mindful of the sitting. So it is the example. In the sitting, one should note sitting with sustained mindfulness. So in the sitting, there are the nama rupa. The intention to sit is the nama. The actual sitting down, when the body becomes heavier and heavier, this heaviness is rupa, materiality. So in order to discern the nama rupa, one should be noting sitting at the moment of sitting. When the mind falls on the nama, one comes to discern the nama. When the mind falls on rupa, one discerns the rupa. And nama is the mind that cognizes the object. So is the mind jiva atta, the living soul? It is not. Is there the atta in the nama? There is not. And in the rupa, being stiff, tense, heavy, is stiffness, tension, heaviness the atta? It is not. Is there the atta in the stiffness, tension, movement? There is not. What really arises? What is really there, what really exists in the sitting are the nama and rupa. In order to discern the nama rupa distinctly, one should be mindful at the moment of sitting. Discerning the nama rupa distinctly, one understands that the nama rupa are not atta themselves, and there is no atta in the nama rupa. What really exists are the nama rupa. So in this way, by being mindful at the moment of sitting, one discerns the nama rupa. It is called nama rupa paricchida jnana, knowledge into the mind and matter. And by cultivating nama rupa paricchida jnana, discerning distinctly between the mind and matter, one removes atta deity. One removes the wrong view of atta. By noting the object continuously, when viriya, sati, and samadhi, effort, mindfulness, and concentration become strong, one discerns that the intention to sit is the cause, the actual sitting is the effect. So there are some conditions that are causing the intention to sit, such as when one feels discomfort by standing a long time, this tiredness, discomfort may cause the intention to sit. The intention to sit is the cause, which is nama, mentality. The actual sitting is the effect, which is rupa, materiality. If there is no intention to sit, sitting will not take place. So in the sitting, there is the intention to sit, which is the cause, which is mentality. The actual sitting is the effect, which is materiality. So the sitting is not created by the creator. What really exists are the intention and the sitting, which are arising as cause and effect, which are nama, rupa. And by being mindful in the sitting, one discerns correctly that there is only the nama, rupa, which are arising as cause and effect in the sitting. There is no creator. One is sitting not because the creator is creating, but it is because there is the intention to sit. So in this way, by discerning that there are the nama rupa which are arising as cause and effect in the sitting, one understands that there is no creator. If one does not discern between the nama rupa, cause and effect, one will think that there is the creator that is creating to sit. But by being mindful at the moment of sitting, when understanding that the intention to sit is the cause, the actual sitting, the effect, in this way, understanding that relevant cause gives rise to relevant effect, one removes the wrong view of creator. In this way, one removes the wrong view of creator by discerning cause and effect, by noting the object effectively, efficiently. So in order to cultivate knowledge in other postures also, one should be mindful of them. The direct experiential knowledge one gains by noting sitting, understanding the cause and effect. When noting sitting, it is attapachaka jnana, direct experiential knowledge, which is correct and true. The kind of knowledge that one gains through thinking, it is not true knowledge. But the attapachaka jnana, direct experiential knowledge gained through the practice of satipatthana, is the true knowledge. Saraji gave the example of sitting. Also, when standing up from sitting, when standing up from sitting position, or when standing, one should be mindful in the way that has been described in the example of sitting. And later on, Saraji will explain how knowledge is cultivated. By noting the object, kaya, vedana, citta, and dhamma, with sustained mindfulness, the mind will fall calm and collected on the object. One will discern the nama rupa distinctly and cause and effect distinctly. So this is the example that Saraji explained. Also, in the other activities, by being mindful, without missing, without failing, one can discern distinctly between the nama rupa and cause and effect. For yogis who practice diligently, continuously, can discern the nama rupa, cause and effect, even within 2 or 3 days of their practice. But if the person is practicing in an easygoing manner, if the person is noting flippantly, it is not guaranteed. And this will be all for today. Tomorrow, Saraji will continue to explain and answer the 4th and 5th question. And this will be all for today.